What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer from below, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Just to Go Supers with myself, Greg Oops Peters, and now part of the Beast and Family podcast, and we've got a great podcast for you guys. We're going to be joined in segment number two by one of our good friends, Curtis Rogers, over at 710 Seattle Sports. Does an amazing job taking a look at all things in the Pacific Northwest, from basketball to baseball to football. You're able to go down the list, and we're going to be chatting with them about this big-time Gonzaga versus UCLA game that's going to be coming up. And really, we kept it all the Sweet 16 talk. Which of the one seeds remaining is the most vulnerable? What do we make out of UConn, Texas? So we're going to be diving into the Sweet 16 matchups with them in segment number two. In the final segment, we unfortunately do not have Sweet 16 matchups, but we've got three great games, two in the NIT, one in the CBI. I'm going to give you picks and analysis on all three as we hit some bank shots. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at GNNR41. Keep in mind, letters EM. Naming does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that's fine, an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. Only questions I've been getting are about off-season moves and what have you. And on this podcast now, because the most games that we're going to have in a day moving forward is 4. I am going to be giving you more of those news and notes that we are seeing in college basketball, because we're seeing coaching hires, coaching firings, what have you. And I'll do my recap here in the next few minutes, because we had just 4 college basketball games that went down on Tuesday. But let's take a look at some of them. Like with Iona, it's now going to be Tobin Anderson that's going to be at the helm. And we did see a few players react and decide, you know what, I'm going to be entering into the transfer portal. Like Nelly Jr. Joseph was a very notable player that decided, you know what, he is going to be testing the waters. And just because these guys do enter into the transfer portal, by the way, does not mean that they are going to be transferring elsewhere. But typically they do. There are some cases where a guy puts his name in, he returns to where he came. That certainly has been something that we've seen a little bit more of in recent years. But Nelly Jr. Joseph is now out there in the transfer portal, a guy that averaged last year 14.9 points, 9.3 boards, block and a half per game while he was at Iona. So that is going to be a big one. Mustafa Amzil, this is one that stands out for me with a Dayton team that, well, they were pretty underachieving last year in a conference in general in the Atlantic 10. That, man, it was a brutal year for all involved. And he's got some good versatility. Someone that stands 6'9", 9.5 points, nearly 5 boards, shot 36.5% from 3-point range last season. He's going to be a name that is going to field a lot of potential suitors. And I will say this, there are more guys that enter in the transfer portal than I'm going to be reading off. But some of these guys, they are very, very small. They average right around like 2 points per game. I might dive into more of them during the summertime here for the podcast. Right now, I'm not going to be diving into guy at the end of the bench that averaged like 1 point and saw like 5 minutes worth of action the entirety of the season, or else we'd be here a little bit too long, because we've got nearly 100 guys a day at this point entering into the transfer portal. But I will highlight someone like a Kadarius Smith. USC Upstate was in the CBI, so after it was done, he's decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Someone that averaged right around 8 points, 3.5 boards, as a 6'8", little bit of a combo player. We know that at Tulsa, things were not good for them, and Tulsa has had quite a few guys enter into the transfer portal. I'm not necessarily shocked by this. Brian Celebongu, who is really the only guy that was giving the team rebounds, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal along with Brandon Betson. Betson, who actually began his career at Chicago State, and he last year averaged 9.5 points, was able to shoot 41.5% per three. Celebongu, 12 points, 9 boards, a steal per game. So these guys were solid cogs for a team that, well, they were less than solid, but we shall see what happens with them. Aiden Wright, he was the top scorer over at Cal State Northridge, a.k.a. CSUN, 16.5 points out of him last season. He shot in the neighborhood about 33% from three-point range, certainly a bucket getter on a team that he just didn't get a lot of buckets, so it's going to be fascinating to see where he ends up. We've also got Davion McKnight, who was a nice stat sheet stuffer for a Western Kentucky team that they moved in a different direction. Slick Rick Sansbury, he got it done when it came to bringing in recruits and transfers. Did not get it done with this Western Kentucky team, who went 17-16 last year with all that talent. And, I mean, this was one of the best players in Conference USA this year. 16.5 points, 5 boards, 4.8 assists, shot 34% from 3-point range. There's certainly going to be a lot of teams that are going to be interested in him. Even someone like a Enoch Boyke, who is over at Arizona State. He's a former top 100 recruit that just didn't see a lot of run. He decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Esau Silva, he was at Stanford last year, 3 points per contest. He's now into the portal, and we're seeing a lot of top scorers as well. I mentioned the Tobin Anderson hire over at Iona, and already for Fairleigh Dickinson, they have got their man. They are going to be just staying in-house with regards to their hire, as Jack Castleberry did get that gig, and Castleberry, he was an assistant at the Citadel and VMI before arriving at Fairleigh Dickinson, so that was a very fast-moving situation, and congrats to all involved. But Walter Clayton Jr., who was the Metro Atlantic Player of the Year, he is now in the transfer portal as well. He averaged 16.8 points, 3 assists, shot 43% for 3, 95% at the free-throw line. So all these moves, they do have a little bit of a ripple effect. Someone like a Frankie Pocelli, who began his career at Dayton and really made a good career for himself at Stony Brook in 3 years. This past season, 13.5 points, 9.5 boards, shot 37% from three as a 6'7" do-it-all combo player. He's now in the transfer portal. Jordan King, who was able to supply about 14 points per game last year, shot only about 30% from three. 2 years ago, he shot north of 40% from three-point range. He's in the transfer portal as ETSU has been playing musical chairs with their coaching staff for many, many years. So we'll see what's happened there. And when it comes to playing musical chairs with their coaching staffs, we've seen quite a few teams do that. Another team out there in the SoCon, they've decided that they are going to be removing the interim tag off of Dwight Perry. Was really thrust into a strange situation because Wofford, they had in mind trying to keep things going with Jay McCauley. He was out after 9 games, and then after Perry took over, the team went 12-12, but I believe under his watch, they were able to knock off Texas A&M. That might have been just before them, but he did a good job rallying the troops. Wofford was able to make a run in the SoCon tournament. I do like the way that he was able to get things online. He made the best of a bad situation. St. Joe's assistant, John Griffin, he's now going to be the coach over at Bucknell. If that name does sound familiar, he was a part of that Bucknell team that knocked off Kansas during the 2005 NCAA tournament, so no doubt about it, they have a nice tie there. It does seem like Paul Mills, who was the coach at Oral Roberts, he has decided that he is going to be going to Wichita State, so that's another move that got done. So we can expect to see a lot of movement in the transfer portal. Not going to be probably seeing as much with Arizona State as they are going to be sticking with Bobby Hurley. Seems as though he is going to be getting a contract extension from Arizona State, so that is a move that is not going to be happening anytime soon, but and we've got a lot of hoopla that is going on, and it's causing for more and more transfers. Like, even down at the lower level, Garrett Hicks, who was able to do a very good job at Alabama A&M the last few seasons, he's now in the transfer portal. All-SWAC performer, was able to give the team 12.8 points, and has averaged at least 11 points per game as pretty much a four-year starter for the team, shot 40% from three-point range. His name is now in the transfer portal, Makai Long. He was very solid as a do-it-all player this past season at Old Dominion. He is out in the transfer portal as well, and I do like his overall game. I do think that he's got a shot to be able to do a little bit of something, as he was able to supply his team with a 36% three-point shooting percentage on 10.5 points, 8.7 boards, ceiling half per contest, stands right around 6'7", so good versatility out of him. Josh Nickelberry, you had right around 13 points per game at LaSalle. He is now in the transfer portal as well. Timu Chenery, who really had some good seasons like 2-3 years ago when he was at Quinnipiac, he fell a little bit out of favor this year with a team that was going with a whole is greater than the sum of its parts approach. He is now in the transfer portal as well, so we're going to see what happens with him. And he, 2 seasons ago, was able to give the team 9.5 points as a freshman, shot right around 33.5% from three each of the past 2 years. That has gone downward just a little bit, but relatively a three-year starter out in the Metro Atlantic. CJ Felder, who was out of favor at Florida, he decided to enter into the transfer portal. And then we saw Kerry Okwendo, who, after Georgia decided to can Tom Crean, he decided that he was going to stick with the program, and things went really well towards the beginning part of the season for Georgia, and then they went down the toilet bowl. He's now in the portal after he saw his performance dip from the previous season, 2 seasons ago during the 2021-22 season, 15 points per contest. This year, only about 12.5 points per game, and shot about 27% from three-point range. So we're going to take a look to see what we're able to get out of that situation, because he's going to be a guy that's going to be coveted. I think that this guy, Imax Klanzic, is also one to watch out for, because he began his career at Maine, and he went to USC Christian last year, a team that played no defense whatsoever. 15 points, 4 boards, shot 35% from three, and he really emerged towards back half of the season as well. And this is something that a lot of teams do want to take a look at, and these are some of the guys that they do go a little bit more under the radar when it comes to the transfer portal that turn out to be these guys that really emerge. These guys that towards the back half of the season, they just all of a sudden find it. Like with Klanzic, from February on, final 10 games of the season, this guy was able to register 23.1 points on 40% three-point shooting while taking 8.9 threes per game. So, no doubt an impact player, someone like Tyler Harris, who was able to put up 5 points per game this last season at Western Carolina. Doesn't sound significant, but he could be a nice cog for a team. The last 2 years, he was averaging more around 4.5 rebounds per game. This year, not so much. And then Graham Ike, who was a big part of what Wyoming was able to do when they made the NCAA tournament in 2022, did not play at all this year due to injury. I mean, you better believe that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in on him. 19.5 points, 9.6 rebounds per game during the 2021-22 season, in my opinion, is always one of those out of sight, out of mind guys. And I think that these are some of the most interesting out there in the transfer portal. Some like a Raekwon Brown, who missed the beginning of the year for Mississippi Valley State, but when he came in, he was a lightning rod, 12.5 points, a little bit over a steal. He was able to make nice contributions with 6.5 rebounds per game. This is someone to watch out for as well. So, I mean, the transfer portal, it is really filling up, and didn't even talk about someone like a Blake Preston, who was a nice scorer over at Liberty, a team that was able to make the NIT. DeAndre Dominguez, about 9 points per game, solid 3-point shooter over at UMass. Curtis Jones was one of the top players for Buffalo this last season, as Mr. Jones was able to fire in there about 15 points, 3 assists, 4 boards as the team's top scorer this last season. One of the top players at Navy with 13.5 points, 6 boards, shot 39.5% from 3-point range. Another guy from a military institute, Asher Woods, he was able to tear it up this past season. 14 points, 2.5 assists, shot about 32% from 3-point range. There's a lot of guys that are entering in the transfer portal. There's a lot of talent. And as I take a look right now, I always get this from verbalcommits.com. They seem to do the best job of tracking the transfer portal. 756 guys are currently in the transfer portal, and the Sweet 16 is yet to get tipped off. So that tells you that there's a lot of moves being made in college basketball right now, and we're doing a good job of trying to keep you guys abreast of all of them, but we got to keep you guys abreast as to what's happening out there on the court as well. So let's take a look back at everything that we saw in college basketball on Tuesday. Try to find some trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
It took double overtime, but Eastern Kentucky was able to take down Southern Utah 108-106, and for Eastern Kentucky, their third straight overtime game in 3 days, and they survived in advance, and they survived despite the fact that Southern Utah went 16 of 35 from three-point range, reason why Eastern Kentucky got the job done. They won the turnover battle 22-9. They also won the rebound battle 47-45 as Isaiah Cozart, 31 points, 13 rebounds down low for Eastern Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky shot themselves in the foot a little bit at the free throw line, going 13 of 23 with that regard. But for Southern Utah, did not get it done. Though I will say D. Barnes and Cam Healy had a combined 40 points on 10 of 16 three-point shooting off the bench. That was a nice boom for them, but in double overtime, the thriller, it goes the way of Eastern Kentucky. North Texas and Oklahoma State went to overtime, and North Texas gets the job done 65-59. A good for all in terms of the total. It closes at 121.5, opened up at 124.5. So if you took the overnight under, you got there. If you took the late over, you got there as well. As for North Texas, they go to sign of 30 from three-point range, Tyler Perry. You've seen him as a star on Hollywood. Now he's a star on the hardwood. He had 21 shots, contributed 23 points, but the guy that was really able to get the job done down low, Moulay Sissoko, came into this game averaging 1.9 points and 1.6 rebounds per game. He was filling in for Abdul Usman, 12 points, 15 rebounds. He took it to Oklahoma State, as for North Texas, they do lose the battle on the glass by a count of 44-38, but Musa Cisse, 13.7 rebounds, just one block. Sissoko did his job in this one. For Oklahoma State, they go just 4 of 22 from three-point range as well, so a great game out there. And then in the NIT, we saw Wisconsin and Oregon do battle out west, and it was the Badgers who were able to rally from behind and get a 61-58 win. Oregon was leading by about 6 points with 5 minutes remaining, and then Oregon just ran out of steam, it seemed like, in this one. They were without their top three scorers in Enfali Dante, coupled with Will Richardson and Jermaine Cousinard, so they were really having to rely upon Keyshawn Bartholomew in this one. He had 15 points. He was able to do a nice job of helping out Rivaldo Suarez in the backcourt, who had no turnovers in this game. Overall, Oregon was able to win that turnover battle by a count of 10-9, but they lost the battle on the glass 44-35 as Stephen Kroll down low. 10 boards, 3 assists, 9 points for Wisconsin. Wisconsin, they go 12-13 at the free throw line. They had been one of the worst free throw shooting teams in all of college basketball in Oregon. 4 of 12 at the charity stripe. That is exactly where Oregon lost this game, and our DK Nation pick up the under in that one, was able to cash. And then in the Charlotte versus Radford game in the CBI, it was Charlotte who was able to break away in the second half. They get the win by a count of 63-56. They also covered this spread. As for Radford, they go just 2 of 13 from three-point range, and this was a total that got steamed all the way down to 123, and he was able to come through as Bryce Williams. A nice double-double, 14 points, 11 rebounds for Radford. They win the turnover battle by a count of 10-9. They win the rebound battle, but they also went 2 of 4 at the free throw line, so they weren't able to get to the charity stripe. Charlotte, 17 of 19 at the free throw line, with Lucille Patterson coming in off the bench. 13 points, went 6 of 6 at the free throw line to be able to cash those tickets. And if you're taking a look at what we've gotten the last 7 days in college basketball, so this is pretty much NIT, CBI, NCAA tournament, all that we have seen with that thus far in all these tournaments. The under, it has been cashing like wildfire. 51 unders to 30 overs. I believe that we've gotten 2 pushes in there as well. And favorites, they've been having a little bit of a rough go of it. Underdogs are 43, 36, and 3 against the spread over the last 7 days. That's a 54.4% cover rate. So that's what we're seeing in college basketball right now. And that's what we got in the transfer portal. That's what we got in terms of coaching hires and on the hardwood itself on Tuesday. Now let's turn it forward to take a look at the Sweet 16 matchups with Curtis Rogers, who does great work over at 710 Seattle Sports. No doubt we're going to be talking Gonzaga versus UCLA, but going to be taking a look at which one seed is vulnerable and so much more right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eves Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg E. Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this man as Curtis Rogers does an amazing job taking a look at the great game of college basketball. And he takes a look at everything, really, when it comes to Pacific Northwest sports. He's over there at 710 Seattle Sports. He is the pre- and post-game shows over there for the Seattle Mariners. You're able to catch him on the Seattle Sports Night and Seattle Sports Saturday podcast. You're able to find those wherever you hear podcasts. I know that he is all hyped up for what we're going to be seeing in this Gonzaga versus UCLA game, which we're going to be mentioning in a minute. But top of that, does a great job taking a look at the NFL. The Seattle Kraken have had a nice year as well. So lots of things going down over in Curtis's neck of the woods. And you're able to follow him on Twitter at A Kid From Kent all together. And Curtis, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Greg, always appreciate getting the phone call from you. And it is Sweet 16 time. This is one of my very favorite weekends on the sports calendar. You mentioned up here in the Pacific Northwest, all eyes will be on that Gonzaga-UCLA matchup. It's going to be a highly contested game. In fact, of all the Sweet 16 matchups, I think that's the best game on the slate this week. That's going to be a really fun one between those two West Coast powers.
I'm right there with you. And how do you view this game? Because out here in Vegas, most books, they have this as UCLA being a 2-point favorite. And personally, I think Gonzaga should be a little bit of a favorite. I recognize that Gonzaga, for if you look at the entirety of the season, defense lacking quite a bit, but UCLA comes in very wounded. I can't think that David Singleton is going to be 100% for this game. They're already down Jalen Clark, and Bona's been dealing with some injuries. And for Gonzaga, I recognize that the effort against TCU, if you look at the final score, you're like, oh, they gave up north of 75 points. A lot of those points came very, very late, and with, 0.7 seconds remaining, which was significant to very, very many people. But I look at Gonzaga, they feel a little bit improved on defense, and UCLA is becoming a mash unit.
I think that UCLA's injuries are going to catch up to them at some point. And this Gonzaga team is very battle-tested, as we've talked about quite a bit on this podcast. They've played very deep into tournaments, especially with Drew Timmy as the senior leader of this ball club. I think UCLA is going to get a big test in Gonzaga. I think they've got a really, really tough test ahead of them. And like you mentioned, just the injuries piling up for UCLA, and not just injuries to, you know, guys at the end of the bench, but these are key contributors, all three of them. You know, obviously we know what they look like without Jalen Clark. They've been playing like this for the better part of a couple weeks now, so they've kind of adjusted a little bit in that area. But we don't know what they're going to be like if David Singleton is limited or can't go. Adam Bona is a guy that's been banged up ever since the Pac-12 tournament. So at some point, I think UCLA will have these injuries catch up to them. And I think Gonzaga is going to be a very tough test for them. Played very similarly to Arizona, and Arizona took 2 of 3 from UCLA this season. So I wonder if the Bruins are going to have some fits with the Bulldogs. It should be a very tight game. Gonzaga, you know, coming off that rock fight against TCU, and they get past the hump. That is their March struggles, at least, you know, getting to the Final Four, getting to the national championship game, winning a national championship. That's always been the big question mark about that program. You got to face some really good teams along the way, UCLA being one of the very best remaining teams. I think this one's going to be a really close one. I think I'm with you, Greg, in making the Zags a slight favorite over UCLA.
I think that that is really going to be the best game of the Sweet 16, but the game that is going to be preluding it out here where I am, lovely Las Vegas, that is going to be a good one as well. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Curtis Rogers, and I am spoiled because before that, it's going to be the Arkansas versus UConn game, and I'm not sure how you view these two teams, but I think that UConn is the most dangerous team in relation to their seed line, because when UConn came out as a 4 seed, I'm sitting there thinking, man, right now they are playing like a top 2 seed. I think that they were worthy of the 4 seed if you take a look at just the entirety of their body of work. But the way that UConn was really able to rally after those losses in January, the way that they looked out of conference, I think that this is a UConn bunch that could really wreck some shop. And with the way that the 1 seeds have shown vulnerabilities throughout the year, certainly Alabama has been looking better in recent weeks, but Houston's been a little bit banged up. We've had our ups and downs with Texas, so it looks like they're peaking as well. You're able to go down the list. I think UConn is as dangerous as anyone remaining in the NCAA tournament.
I think so, too. And you look at UConn, and their first 2 games in the NCAA tournament have been kind of walks in the park for them. They have looked really, really good against Iona, and also against St. Mary's, winning both games by double digits. They beat Iona by, 24, and then they beat St. Mary's by 15 points. I mean, this UConn team at one point, you know, there was a lot of talk that maybe they were the best team in the country. It's interesting kind of how Arkansas and UConn seasons have been almost polar opposites of each other. Arkansas entered this season with a lot of hype. I believe after last year's tournament, there were some people that were, you know, wondering whether or not they were going to be the preseason number one. Obviously, a few guys, you know, transferred, went to the NBA, what have you. That didn't materialize in the regular season, but Arkansas's got a lot of talent. And UConn, on the other hand, kind of surprised a lot of people. They were unranked to start the season, and then all of a sudden, you kind of look up and it's like, whoa, they're plowing by everybody. But then that tough Big East schedule really came, you know, halting their hot streak to start the season. But I think this UConn team is very battle-tested going through the Big East this season. Was a gauntlet for every team. And, you know, you're playing teams like Xavier, Creighton, Marquette. You're playing just every good team in the Big East Conference. And you get a lot of good experience, a lot of valuable experience going into March. I think UConn right now is playing some of their best basketball. Obviously, you know, they didn't win the Big East tournament, but finished up the regular season winning 6 of 7. I think UConn right now is a team sort of cresting at the right time, and I think they could get past Arkansas in this one, even though Arkansas, I think, is going to put up a very tough test. Obviously, the must bus is rolling. Arkansas gives everybody a tough time. They play a very hectic pace. So I think UConn is going to be the team to move on in this one, but it's going to be a really, really, really great week of hoops out there in Las Vegas in your neck of the woods, Greg.
Yep, we are certainly spoiled out here, Curtis. It is going to be a lot of fun as Curtis Rogers, who does amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports, is joining me on the podcast. And Curtis, we do have 2-1 seeds that are remaining. Kansas went out early and Purdue went out really, really early. That was not great. I mean, you give all the credit in the world to Fairleigh Dickinson, but when you're Purdue, you can't lose that game to Fairleigh Dickinson, in my opinion. That's just me, though. But I take a look at the 2-1 seeds remaining in Alabama and also Houston, and I think both should be able to get by in the Sweet 16. Both are between 7 and 7.5 point favorites as we take a look at it right now, but which one do you feel like is a little bit more vulnerable? Because I take a look at both matchups, and I think that San Diego State could be a little bit peskier than Miami, just because with Miami, the defense all year long has not been there, unlike when they did make the Elite Eight last season. Meanwhile, San Diego State, I didn't like the way that they played at the beginning of the year. I felt like they were playing a little bit too fast for their own good. But now I think it actually might be a blessing in disguise for them, because now they're going up against an Alabama team that's looking to run it and gun it, and they're a little bit more used to it than they would have been in seasons past.
I think of the two teams, of Alabama and Houston, I think right now Houston has the most experience, having been to the Final Four two seasons ago in the Elite Eight just last year, battle-tested for sure. That Houston-Miami game is going to be – it's going to come down to whichever team is able to establish themselves offensively, and whichever team is able to do that, I think you're going to see them move on. Now, when that happens, I think Houston is going to get by Miami. I think the Cougs are determined to get to the Final Four, which is being held in Houston. I think that would mean a ton to them. It would mean a ton to the city. It's playing very inspired ball right now. I think their defense has the ability to stop this Miami offense. I think Houston can move on to the Elite Eight, where they'd be awaiting Xavier or Texas. Imagine Houston playing Texas for a chance to go play in Houston in the Final Four. That would be a huge Elite Eight matchup. Obviously, there's injury, too, if Xavier moves on to the Elite Eight with Sean Miller. His first year at Xavier, having never made the Final Four, could potentially make the Final Four this season in his very first year at Xavier. That would be impressive. But I look at Alabama's road to the Final Four. I think they get by San Diego State. But one thing to watch out for is that Creighton Blue Jays team, which at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of expectations. They had a very good showing in Maui, lost the championship game, but I think they opened some eyes. But then immediately following Maui, they had that, what, 6-game losing streak that everybody kind of reassessed and was like, wait a minute, did we overhype Creighton to begin this season? No. It was just a hiccup, as it seems, because they've been playing some really good ball ever since then. They're a very dangerous team. I think they could give Alabama fits in the Elite Eight if they were to match up. I think Creighton's starting five matches up with anybody's in the country. And you look at Ryan Kalkbrenner, I think that's somebody, it's kind of an X factor going into a game against Alabama. Also, Nembhard. Alabama's guards, I don't think they're as good as Andrew Nembhard. So I look at what Creighton can do in an Elite Eight matchup against Alabama. That's one that I think could potentially go the Blue Jays' way. Although I do have Alabama as my national champion in my bracket. I have 3 of the 4 Final Four teams still alive in my bracket. So I haven't completely thrown
it yet.
But I do think Creighton can give Alabama fits if they do end up meeting in the Elite Eight.
I do think so as well. I think that that is going to be such an interesting matchup if we do get it. And I did talk about Texas having some of their ups and downs, and I talk about UConn being one of the most dangerous teams in the field. What do you think of this Texas team? Because I think that Houston's toughest test to be able to win a national championship might be this Texas team at this point, because with Houston, if they get by Texas, they pretty much have home games. The final two games out there in Houston, Texas, obviously, with how big of a stadium it is, it's probably not going to be 100% Cougars fans, but you know that there's going to be a lot of people showing up and showing out for Houston if they are able to make the Final Four and or the national title game. And the way that Texas has been playing, they've really been able to play some of their top defense all year long. And I felt like it took a little bit of time to transition to Ronnie Terry, but I think that Ronnie Terry has been able to get this team to fire on all cylinders at the right time. And certainly I think that he has proven himself worthy of the coaching job moving forward after this year.
I agree. I think they need to lose the interim tag on him. I think he has more than earned this job. Going forward, I think there might be a player revolt if they choose to go elsewhere with the head coaching job moving forward. It's just a testament to his ability to get these guys to focus in after the craziness of the early season with Chris Beard's dismissal, to be able to weather that storm, and not just weather that storm, but to go on and have success and big success. I mean, Texas hasn't been to a Final Four since, what, 2003? That was the TJ Ford era. But this Texas team, I mean, they are very good at spreading the wealth, 5 guys over 9 points per game. Just a lot of good numbers across the board for this ball club. Obviously, Marcus Carr, you know, averaging nearly 16 points a game. As he goes, they kind of go. I think this Texas ball club is the best shot of knocking off Houston in that regional. I think Xavier right now, they had a good second-round game against Pitt, but that opener getting off to the slow start, it kind of cooled off on them a little bit. And as we know, Sean Miller, this time of year, for whatever reason, just cannot get past the Elite Eight. That's just kind of been his biggest bugaboo this time of year. You know, hopefully he can maybe learn from past experience. I do like that Xavier is kind of running a much quicker pace than Miller has been running in his, you know, past years. I think normally he's around like 90th in the country. This year, Xavier's up at 33rd overall in terms of pacing, so I think that could benefit Xavier, not just this year, but going forward, too, and kind of allow for more offense. But I think Texas does have the best shot at knocking off Houston in that region.
Yep, I agree with you. And with Xavier, I love the way that the offense is performing. They just need a little bit of defense. They don't need to be like some dominant Tennessee defense or anything like that, but if you play no defense whatsoever, that is a little bit of an issue, as Curtis Rogers over at 710 Seattle Sports is joining me on the podcast. And Curtis, I know you have been a little bit high on this Florida Atlantic team. I know that you've talked about them quite a bit on the podcast. How do you feel about their matchup against Tennessee? Because with Tennessee, I think that a lot of people were down on them coming into the NCAA tournament, but it does actually remain the number one team in the country in terms of just sheer points allowed on a per-possession basis. And I do think that that game in Madison Square Garden is going to be very interesting because Florida Atlantic is very balanced. Tennessee, they're a little bit more unbalanced to their defense. But for Tennessee, if that defense continues to play the way that they did against Duke, I think that they're going to be a hard team to stop.
I do as well. I think Tennessee, an interesting team to watch. Last time we met, Greg, we talked about teams, how they respond when key players go down. We mentioned, what was it, the 2017 Ducks with Chris Boucher, obviously UCLA with Jalen Clark going down. There are a couple other teams. Tennessee, you know, obviously they lost their starting point guard, Zakai Ziegler, late in the season. So you're kind of wondering, like, how is this Volunteers team going to be able to replace that production? How are they going to be able to, you know, make a tournament run without the guy that, you know, was really guiding this offense on the court? But they've been able to find a way. Olivier Nkamhuwa has really stepped it up. What, 27 points, 10 of 13 against Duke in that round two matchup. He was incredible that night, 5 boards as well. If Tennessee can get a performance like that going up against FAU, I think they're going to be in the Elite Eight for sure. I think this Tennessee ball club, despite their double-digit losses, 10 losses on the season, I still think they're a really formidable ball club. And like you said, in terms of, you know, points per possession, they're the best defense in the country. I think that is a stat that is incredibly relevant this time of year. I think in the coaching matchup, Dusty May has been, you know, a darling of this tournament. But I think Rick Barnes is somebody that has just so much experience in his coaching career, whether it's at Clemson, whether it's at Texas, here in Tennessee now. That says something this time of year. I think Tennessee gets the victory in that Sweet 16 matchup against FAU, but don't discredit what FAU has accomplished this season, especially in a tough Conference USA. They were able to, you know, weave their way all the way to the Sweet 16. I don't think their road continues after the Tennessee game, but they have really shown that you can win at FAU. It's not a joke of a program by any stretch of the imagination, especially because it's been, what, almost two decades since they last won a game in the tournament. So I think FAU has really opened some eyes, even with their second-round matchup against 16-seeded Fairleigh Dickinson. That does not take away anything from what FAU has accomplished this year.
No, not at all. And FAU being able to make the Sweet 16 from Conference USA, that is quite the feat. And winning north of 30 games in any college basketball season, that is something to behold. And always something to behold is getting you on this podcast, Curtis, because you're one of the best in the business. I know that you'll be joining me on the baseball podcast once that gets up and rolling as well. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to you about a little college basketball for them, because that most likely means that Gonzaga is going to the Elite Eight and beyond. But Curtis, I know you do an amazing job taking a look at a little bit of everything. You do a great job taking a look at just the West Coast landscape of sports in general. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Well, yeah, Greg, we're going to be paying very close attention to that Gonzaga-UCLA matchup. I mean, just so much history between those two ball clubs. Got Jalen Suggs' shot in the Final Four a couple of years ago. Obviously, the Adam Morrison game over a decade ago. So that's going to be of huge interest out here in the Pacific Northwest. And then obviously just keeping tabs on the rest of the Sweet 16 Elite Eight matchups. It's going to be a huge weekend of college hoops. Looking forward to it. We've also got some WBC action to talk about too. Team USA and Japan in the final. So that's what we've got going on up here in the Great Northwest. And Greg, always appreciate talking hoops with you. I look forward to our next chat.
I do as well. Whether that chat is going to be more college basketball or baseball, it is always a pleasure to get Curtis aboard. He does an amazing job taking a look at everything that we're getting out in the Pacific Northwest, out west in general, and he always delivers great insights, much like he did today. A big thanks to Curtis for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the Beastman Family Podcast. Coming up next, the games are dwindling. We're down to three that we're going to be getting on Wednesday, but we do have three great games on tap for this college basketball Wednesday. I'm going to give you guys picks and analysis on all of them as we hit some bank shots on the flip side.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Guest Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. Always great to get our friend Curtis Rogers aboard. He does amazing work over at 710 Seattle Sports, taking a look at the great game of college basketball. I know that he's getting psyched up for a great baseball season, and for those that do like baseball, the Baseball Betting Show is going to be back before you know it, and I'll be having some fun with that. But in the meantime, we've got the Sweet 16 going down. I know that Curtis is all hyped about that. He does a great job following the entire Pacific Northwest sports landscape, and every single time he joins his podcast, lends great insights like he did today. So big thanks to Curtis for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this College Basketball Wednesday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at gunit_81. Unfortunately, we've only got three games today, so That'll keep things very, very clean and easy. We're going with the two NIT games, and then the CBI final, since that was to be determined until the games that were played yesterday. That'll be the last game on the board. Let's start off with my DK Nation pick. 625-626, UAB. It's the road faceoff against Vanderbilt. This is a pick'em game. I'm seeing Vanderbilt in some spots still a one-point favorite, but Vanderbilt opened up a two-point favorite. Now it's between pick'em and one, and your total on this game here between 153 and 153.5. I'm going to be looking at the over. I set my total at 154.5, but right up here is going to be on UAB. I feel like they should be a favorite of more like 2.5 points, so getting them as a pick, a money line of like minus 105 like I'm seeing at DraftKings, that's where I'm going to be going. Heck, if they become a one-point favorite, I'm willing to lay that 1 point. So right up here is just going to be on UAB. They've got the number 4 scorer in all of college basketball and Jordan Jelly Walker. I always feel weird about calling him Jelly, but Mr. Walker, 22.5 points, which is fourth in all of college basketball, shooting 39% from three. And when he's been in the fold, UAB has been absolutely tremendous. They went 3-2 without him, and they have scored at least 76 points in all but three of the games that he has played in this year. And they go up against a Vanderbilt team that ranks 250th in the country. It turns the points a lot on a per possession basis, and they have one guy on the roster that gives you at least 5 rebounds per game. Now, that man is Jordan Wright, who has been Mr. Wright for this team recently. He's been able to do a good job, 5-plus boards in 4 out of the last 5 games, and has given the team 15 assists over the last 3 games as well. But this is a Vanderbilt team that's lucky to be here to start with. They had to erase an 8-point deficit against Michigan in the final minute of their game. Now, one thing that Vanderbilt does a good job of, keeping it clean, 10.8 turnovers per game as a relatively mid-tempo team, so that's rock solid. But you've got a Vanderbilt defense that also ranks in the bottom 35 in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis, so that means loads of clean possessions for UAB, and UAB has the advantage down low because Liam Robbins, top rebounder for Vanderbilt, he is still out of the fold, which is why you do have such a little rebounding. Meanwhile, UAB, 19th in the country in rebound rate. Trey Jemison is able to give you 1.9 blocks, 8.5 boards, 9 points per game. You've got added 3-point shooting with Eric Gaines and Ty Brewer combining to shoot about 35.5% from 3. Brewer, 7.5 points, 4 boards. His brother, Ladarius, chips in there about 7 points per game as well. While Gaines, he also gives you 4.6 assists per game. And UAB, they're a blazer. They are 20th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Vanderbilt has Ezra Manone, who's been able to give you about 3.8 assists per game. But, I mean, it's a Vanderbilt team that they shoot right around 34% from 3. They've been better as the season goes along, but just too much firepower from UAB. Having some like a KJ Buffin down low, being able to give you 10.5 points, 7 rebounds per game. UAB has a rebounding advantage. They've got by far the best score. You're able to go down the list. And UAB is also 47th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, while Vanderbilt has been lackluster with that regard. So I did set my total 154. My write up here, that is going to be on the over, especially with UAB's pace. And UAB, like I said, has scored at least 76 points in all but 3 games that Walker has played in this year. So looking over and right up here, that is going to be on UAB. Pick'em/ money line underdog. And we go to 627-628 in the NIT. It is Utah Value plays host to Cincinnati. If you notice on the betting board, some places might list Cincinnati as a bottom team, but Utah Valley is a home team. Cincinnati is just the higher seeded team, and this is a pick'em game. And your total on this game is there between 148.5 and 149.5. And with Cincinnati, I made them the 2-point underdog. This is a true road game for them against the Utah Valley team. That is no joke. Utah Valley has really been looking to push tempo. They're a top 50 team in terms of total possessions per game, but they do a really tenacious job with their defense, as they're a top 30 team in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Aziz Benogo has been a big reason why he's been able to give this team nearly 3 blocks, 11 points, 10 rebounds per contest. I really love the way that he's been able to come about for this team. And Cincinnati has been able to improve a little bit on their defense. They're about 100th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Not a slow team, but also not some team that's going to grip it and rip it and run it down your throat or anything like that. Cincinnati, 75th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Victor Lekeen down low, 11.5 points, 7 boards. He's been rock solid, but the guys that you've got to look at for Cincinnati, their two main backcourt guys, David DeJulius, Landers Sully. These two guys have been able to combine for about 32 points per contest. DeJulius, more of your facilitator, 5.4 assists on 35% 3-point shooting. Also does shoot 85% at the free throw line. Meanwhile, Nolly shoots 41% from distance, a steal, 2.5 assists, 5.8 rebounds per game. And the guy that does stand out to me, Odi Agwama, he's been able to give this team quite a bit down low as he's been able to do a nice job being able to register a combined 38 rebounds in the team's last four games. Hasn't necessarily done it in terms of scoring, but has been able to do a solid job with that regard. You've also got someone like a Micah Adams-Woods giving you 9 points, shoots in the mid-30s from three-point range. But Utah Valley has a big three in their backcourt as well. Trey Woodbury, Latre Dothard, Justin Armand. They all give between 13.6 and 13.9 points per game. Woodbury, 5.7 boards, 4.5 assists, good versatility. The three of them do combine for 3.6 steals per game as well, with Woodbury shooting 40.5% from three, Dothard more around 36.5% from three-point range. Utah Valley does get loose with the ball, 13.8 turnovers per game. Meanwhile, Cincinnati, they do a very good job of taking care of the ball, 10.6 turnovers per game, but they don't really generate a lot of steals, about 6.5 per contest. And I do think that Utah Valley has a nice edge on the glass. I do think that they're going to do a great job with their defense, as Utah Valley has given up fewer than 70 points in all but one of their games this month, and you're able to date it back. They have given up fewer than 70 points in 7 out of their last 8 games. So I do think that this is going to be a tad bit of a lower scoring game. Set by total 147, diving under, and I'm going to be willing to ride with Utah Valley. Now we head out to Daytona Beach for the CBI Final, 629-630 on the betting board. Charlotte and Eastern Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky opens up a 4.5 point underdog, and your total is anywhere between 137.5 and 138, and this is pretty much a max I'm willing to lay here. I set my number at 5, so I'm willing to lay 4.5 and absolutely nothing more. And when it comes to the total, I did set it at a 133. Eastern Kentucky has played each other last 3 games over the total, but much of that is because all those games went to overtime, and now you're asking Eastern Kentucky to get up off the mat after a double overtime game yesterday after they had played overtime the day before and overtime the day before that. This team is completely exhausted. Typically, this would be a line that I'd be setting more in the neighborhood about 3 to 3.5, but I did have to make the line a little bit bigger in this circumstance for that reason. Eastern Kentucky has been very good on the glass. They're a top 5 team in the country in terms of offensive rebounds per game, and you've got a trio of guys that do all in there north of 6 rebounds per game. Devontae Blanton, Michael Moreno, along with Isaiah Cozart, with Blanton and Moreno, they've been able to combine for about 28.5 points per game. They combine to be able to shoot in the high 30s from three-point range, so that is very beneficial for this team. But for Eastern Kentucky, they also did have to play with Michael Moreno out of the fold for much of the game as well. I'm sure that it was a little bit of an injury situation, so that has to be accounted for. He might play in this game, but I would not think that he's going to be 100%. Meanwhile, for Charlotte, you do have Ali Khalifa. Very versatile player, 11.5 points, 6 boards, 2.5 assists, shoots 36% from 3-point range. Bryce Williams, he's been able to shoot about 41.5% from distance, 14 points per game, while Lucile Patterson has done a good job being able to dish out the ball. He's able to throw in there nearly 3 assists per contest, gives you about 10 or so points, shooting 39% from 3. Charlotte as a whole entered into yesterday shooting 37.6% from 3-point range, a top 40 mark in all of college basketball. They're not a team that's going to force a lot of steals, but typically Eastern Kentucky is a team that hangs their hat on steals, and they haven't been able to generate as many this year, and you got to figure that that's going to be a little bit less in this circumstance because these guys are starting to get a little bit burnt out. With Charlotte, I do think that they've got a nice edge with that regard. In Charlotte, they play low and slow to start with. They are a team that ranks in the bottom 10 nationally in terms of total possessions per game. I think that Charlotte gets their slow and grimy style because Eastern Kentucky, a little bit burnt out, perhaps dealing with Michael Moreno, deal with a little bit of an injury as well. So I did set Charlotte as a 5-point favorite. I'm going to be willing to lay the 4.5, being my total 133, so also diving under, and that will wrap things up for the Wednesday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to get our good friend Curtis Rogers aboard. He joined me in the last segment doing great work over at 710 Seattle Sports. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what I have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at GNNRN41. Keep in mind, letter CM, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season. That means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.